Protocols of the Meetings of the Learned Elders of Zion. Protocol Number 12, Control of the Media. 1. The word freedom, which can be interpreted in various ways, is defined by us as follows. 2. Freedom is the right to do what the law allows. This interpretation of the word will, at the proper time, be of service to us, because all freedom will then be in our hands, since the laws will abolish or create only what is desirable for us, according to the above-mentioned program. 3. We shall deal with the media in the following way. What is the role played by the media today? It sometimes serves to excite and inflame those passions which are needed for our purpose, and at other times, it serves the selfish desires of other parties. It is often bland, unjust, dishonest, and the majority of the public haven't the slightest idea what purpose the media really serves. We shall saddle and bridle it with a tight chain. We shall also do the same with all other productions of the printing press, for what would be the sense of getting rid of attacks from newspapers if we remain targets via pamphlets and books? The output of the media is nowadays a source of heavy expense, owing to the necessity of censoring it. We will turn it into a very lucrative source of income to our state by laying a special stamp tax on it and requiring deposits of caution money before permitting any new media companies from being established. They will then be required to guarantee our government against any kind of attack from their media. For any attempt to attack us, if that's still possible, we shall inflict fines without mercy. Such measures as stamp tax, deposit of caution money, and fines secured by these deposits will bring in a huge income to the government. It is true that political groups, which have money to spare, might still attack us for the sake of publicity, regardless of these fines, but these we shall shut up at the second attack upon us. No one shall lay a finger on the oar of our government infallibility without being punished. The pretext for stopping any publication will be the alleged plea that it is agitating the public mind without good reason or at an inappropriate time. I beg you to note that among those making attacks upon us will also be entities established by us, but they will only attack points of our plan, which we have already decided to alter. We control the media. 4. Not a single announcement will reach the public without our control. Even now, this is being achieved by us, due to the fact that all news items are received by only a few agencies, and their offices are a focal point for news coming in from all parts of the world. These agencies will already be entirely owned by us, and will only publish what we dictate to them. 5. We have effectively taken possession of the minds of the Goy communities, to such an extent that they have all come to look upon the events of the world through the colored glasses which we have placed on their noses. Already now, there is not a single state which has barriers preventing us from gaining access to what Goyim stupidity call state secrets. What will our positions be when we are acknowledged as supreme lords of the world and have one of our persons as the king of all the world? 6. Let's turn again to the future of the printing press. Everyone desirous of being a publisher, librarian, or printer will be obliged to first acquire a special license for that purpose, which in case of any fault, will be immediately suspended. With such measures, the thoughts of the people will be under the control of our government, who will educate them appropriately and won't allow the masses to be led along different paths and by fantasies about the blessings of progress. All of us here know that these delusional blessings give rise to fanciful dreaming, which leads to anarchy among the people, and towards authority. This is a bad thing, because progress, or rather the idea of progress, has brought forth all sorts of ideas about gaining freedom, but has failed to establish its limits. All the so-called libertarians are anarchists, either in thought or in reality. Every one of them, in hunting for the phantoms of freedom, ends up involved in anarchy, and protests for the sake of protesting. Free press destroyed. 7. We turn now to the periodical press. We shall impose on it, and on all printed matter, stamp taxes per sheet, and deposits of caution money. Books of less than 30 sheets will pay double. We shall classify them as pamphlets for two reasons. Firstly, to reduce the number of magazines, because these are the worst form of printed poison, and secondly, to force writers to make such lengthy productions that they will be little read, especially seeing that they will also be costly. At the same time, what we shall publish pamphlets ourselves, to influence mental development in the desired direction, our publications will be cheap and eagerly read. This will also bring us some profits. The tax will bring uninteresting literary ambitions within reach, and the risk of possible penalties will make literary men dependent upon us. And if anyone is desirous of writing against us, they will not find any person eager to put their productions in print, because the publisher or printer will first have to apply to the authorities for permission to do so. Thus, we shall have advanced knowledge of all tricks being preparing against us, and shall nullify them, by getting in ahead with our explanations on the subject being discussed. 8. Literature and journalism are two of the most important educative forces, and therefore, our government will become proprietor of the majority of the journals. This will neutralize the injurious influence of the privately owned press, and will put us in possession of a tremendous influence upon the public mind. If we give permits for 10 privately owned journals, we shall establish 30 journals of our own, and so forth in the same proportion. This, however, must in no way be suspected by the public. For this reason, all journals published by us will be very opposite, in appearance, tendencies and opinions, to our official stance. This will create confidence in our journals, bringing over to us quite unsuspicious opponents, who will thus fall into our trap, and be rendered harmless. We will divide our media components into three layers or ranks. 9. In the front rank, will be publications of an official character. They will always stand guard over our interest, and therefore, their influence will be comparatively insignificant. 10. In the second rank, will be the semi-official publications, whose part it will be to normally support us, and sometimes criticize us, but only over issues of lukewarm importance. 11. In the third rank, we shall set up what looks like our own opposing camp, which, in at least one of its publications, will present what looks like the very enemy of us. Our real opponents at heart will accept this simulated opposition as their own, and will reveal their identities and plans to us. 12. Our newspapers will be of all possible complexions, aristocratic, republican, revolutionary, even anarchical, for only as long, of course, as the Constitution exists. Like the Indian idol Vishnu, they will have 100 hands, and every one of them will have a finger on any one of the public opinions as required. When an emotive issue rises, these hands will lead opinion in the direction of our aims, for an excited person loses all power of judgment and easily yields to suggestion. Those fools, who will think they are repeating the opinion of a newspaper of their own camp, will actually be repeating our opinion, or any opinion that seems desirable for us. In the vain belief that they are following the ideology of their party, they will, in fact, be following the flag that we have hang out for them. 13. In order to direct our newspaper militia in this way, we must take special and minute care in organizing this matter. Under the title of Central Department of the Media, we shall arrange literary gatherings, at which our agents will, without attracting attention, issue the orders, and specify the important issues of the day, which journalists need to cover. By superficially discussing and opposing, but without touching the essence of the matter, our appointed people will carry on sham fights and arguments with the official newspapers, solely for the purpose of giving us a reason to express ourselves more fully than we could have done from the outset in official announcements, whenever, of course, that is to our advantage. 14. These attacks upon us will also serve another purpose, namely, that our subjects will be convinced of the existence of full freedom of speech, and this gives our agents an occasion to claim that all publications which oppose us are empty babblers, since they are incapable of finding any substantial objections to our orders. Only lies printed. 15. Methods of organization like these, which are imperceptible to the public eye, but are sure to work, are calculated as being the best way to succeed in bringing the attention and the confidence of the public to the side of our government. Thanks to such methods, we shall be in a position, as may be required from time to time, to excite or calm the public mind on political questions, to persuade or to confuse, sometimes printing truth, sometimes lies, facts or their contradictions. We will do this according to how well these messages are received, and always very cautiously, feeling the ground before stepping upon it. We shall have an assured victory over our opponents, since they will not have the appropriate access to the media, in which they can give full and final expression to their views, owing to the above-mentioned methods of dealing with the media. We shall not even need to refute them except very superficially. 16. Trial shots like these, fired by us in the third rank of our press, will, when necessary, be energetically refuted by us in our semi-official publications. 17. Even nowadays, already, to take only the French press as an example, there are groups which reveal Masonic-like solidarity in acting together on the important issues. All people of the media are bound together by professional secrecy, and like the priests of ancient Rome, not one of them will give away the secret of his sources of information unless the group agrees upon it. Not one journalist will venture to betray the secret, for not one of them is ever admitted to practice journalism, unless his whole past has some dark and disgraceful secret in it, for if he did, these secrets would be immediately revealed. So long as they remain the secret of a few, the prestige of the journalist allows him to attack the majority of the country, and the mob will follow after him with enthusiasm. 18. Our mischievous plans are also designed to apply to the rural areas. It is essential for us to stir up there those hopes and impulses, which, at any moment, we could also stir up in the major cities. We shall tell the people of those cities that these expressions are the independent hopes and impulses of the rural people. Naturally, the source of them will be always one and the same, ours. What we need is that, until such time as we have the majority of power, the cities should find themselves stifled by the provincial opinion of the nations, that is, of a majority arranged by our agents. What we need at that psychological moment is that the city capitals should not discuss our position of majority power, for no other reason than it has already been accepted by the public opinion of a majority in the rural provinces. 19. When we are in the period of the new regime, but prior to the assumption of our full sovereignty, we must not allow any revelation by the media to admit to any form of public dishonesty. It is necessary that the new regime should be thought to have so perfectly contented everybody that even criminality has disappeared. Occurrences of criminality should remain known only to the victims and to chance witnesses, no one else.